How much bikes are there?
I'd say there's 100% of bikes in out there.
There was just like dead radio silence for like 3 seconds. That's how my jokes usually go.
Prison was probably the best experience I've ever had in my life.
Hope you didn't get in a car wreck from that hilarious story that Frankie told.
It is like Comedy Central around here tonight.
He's got like one line. I'm in so much pain.
Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Two Beaverton teenagers were killed in a two-vehicle crash on Highway 211 north of Malala Thursday afternoon. According to Oregon State Police, the crash involved a Saturn Ion driven by 18-year-old Tyler Bracken of Beaverton and a Ford F-250 pickup truck driven by 53-year-old Malala resident Craig Bush. Police say Bracken was traveling southbound at approximately 2:30 in the afternoon, attempting to pass several vehicles on Highway 211 while navigating a blind corner. When the teen saw Bush approaching in the oncoming lane, he veered to the right, overcorrected, and lost control, according to police. The Saturn drove onto a soft shoulder and began sliding across both lanes of traffic. The Ford struck the car on its passenger side. Bracken was transported by Life Flight helicopter to Oregon Health and Science University with life-threatening injuries. His passenger, Eric Santos, also 18 and from Beaverton, was pronounced dead at the scene. Bush was not injured. Eric, better known as EJ, was a 2019 graduate of Southridge High School in Beaverton, where he was a star running back and linebacker for the football team. In a post on the Southridge Facebook page, school officials mourned the loss. As a student, he filled our halls with spirit. As a peer, he was a friend to all. And as a person, he approached each day with a smile. The school said, "May his spirit, friendship, and smile carry us through these tough times." Sadly, Tyler Bracken was taken off life support Saturday and died later that day. According to an update posted to the family's GoFundMe page, the trauma and swelling to his brain was too much. The family hoped that he will be an organ donor. Tyler now lives on as his brother, Eric's guardian angel. Carla Wolf, an organizer of the family's GoFundMe drive, said, "The family is still waiting for the final step, his organs to go to many recipients, including his very strong heart. It won't stop beating. It will live on." The collision occurred near the intersection of 211 and South Maxburg Road. The highway was closed for approximately 4 hours Thursday while police investigated. Police say speed and unsafe passing were factors in the crash. And then there were two. From the initial batch of 54 applicants for the soon-to-be vacant position of Canby City Administrator, the City Council and its hired recruiter had winnowed the field to 5 semifinalists by the start of last week. After a grueling selection process that included multiple interviews before the City Council in closed session, as well as meetings with department heads, a panel of community leaders, and a public meet and greet, only 2 remain. Both finalists currently serve as administrators of other small cities in Oregon, Monmouth and Harrisburg. Here's a brief look at the 2 men and their professional backgrounds. Brian Latta is 6 years into his first stint as city administrator, serving Harrisburg, a community of about 3,600 in Linn County. Though much smaller than Canby, Harrisburg does bear some similarities with our town, including some of its demographics and the focus on a charming small-town feel being key to its identity. Prior to his current position, Latta was a city planner, including 5 years as an associate planner for the city of Corvallis. He also worked in planning for Clark County, Washington. He holds a master's in geography from Oregon State University and a bachelor's in the same subject from Brigham Young. Having served as Monmouth City Manager since 2007, Scott McClure boasts more experience than his co-finalists. He was also City Manager for Coos Bay and previously had been in the same position for several years in Brush, Colorado. He was an analyst for the City of Gladstone from 1989 to 1996. He holds a Master of Public Administration and a Bachelor's in Political Science, both from Portland State University. Monmouth is a city of about 10,000 on the eastern edge of Polk County, which is near and generally considered part of the Salem metro area. One of the two men will replace current city administrator Rick Robinson, who is retiring at the end of October. Canby's assistant city administrator says the city's recruiter will now check references and do other background work and report back to the council. The final decision about a job offer will be made in open session. So what is a city administrator anyway? It's actually a very important job. Though the mayor and city council are the elected officials who enact ordinances, make policy decisions, and set overall agendas for the city, it's the city administrator who really runs things day to day. Functioning much like the CEO of a corporation, the city administrator is charged with bringing the city council's vision to life, while also doing or overseeing the background work and making recommendations on most of the decisions that come before them. They also handle the personnel. The city administrator is one of only three jobs that are appointed by and report directly to the council, the other two being city judge and city attorney. The city administrator heads up all hiring, firing, promotions, and disciplinary action that may otherwise be required for people who work for the city of Canby. This is particularly critical as the city is facing a number of retirements and other vacancies in critical departments in the coming year. The new city administrator will be largely in charge of filling these positions and can thereby play a large role in helping shape the composition of the city's police, planning, and other vital departments for years to come. Youth and parents are invited to a career technical showcase at Clackamas Community College to learn about in-demand jobs in Clackamas County and the skills needed to get them. This free event is Tuesday, August 13th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the college's Industrial Technology Center on the Oregon City campus. Local businesses will be on hand to offer insight into the industrial technology, welding, automotive, renewable energy, and water environmental technology fields, and the status of the current job market. Clackamas Community College staff will give tours of the facility and share information about the college's programs and training. There will also be financial aid staff to answer questions about paying for college. Clackamas Community College has a long-standing partnership with hundreds of companies in the area, from manufacturing to renewable energy. These companies actively seek CCC students, offering opportunities for internships and employment. The demand for employees is in machining, welding, and renewable energy is extremely high right now, says Mike Mattson, chair of the college's Industrial Technology Department. Employers are at our door seeking qualified employees. Our employment rates are essentially 100%. Some high school students may qualify for high school career technical education courses at CCC. For those 17 to 29, the college's Tech Hire program offers paid internships, training, and advising. To attend the Career Technical Showcase, register at www.indtech.eventbrite.com. For questions, call 503-594-3318. This fall, Clackamas Community College is offering a study abroad trip to Ireland. Students and community members who take one of three classes will end the term with a trip December 6th through the 18th, where they will learn about Irish history, ancient Celtic stories, Viking invasions, the Great Irish Famine, and Irish immigration to the United States. On the trip, students will discover the importance of Ireland's borders in Brexit negotiations and see the Book of Kells at Trinity College in Dublin. They will also visit the O'Donnell Castle and Abbey in Donegal, hike the Slieve Cliffs, visit Yates Country in and around Sligo, tour the Bloody Sunday Museum and Bogside Murals in Derry, and shop the Belfast Christmas Markets. Community members can participate in the study abroad experience without earning credit by registering through community education at www.clackamas.edu/workshops. Click on Cougar Tracks, select Community Education, search Ireland Workshop, and register. Cost of the trip is only $3,300, which includes airfare, accommodations, passport, course fee, most meals, course-related excursions, and travel insurance. CCC tuition is separate from the price of the trip. but all financial aid applies for study abroad classes. Some additional small fees may apply. For more information, contact Sue Mock at 503-594-3262. Hey Tyler, did you know that the world has changed in the past 20 years?
No way!
Yep, it's true. The way people shop for goods and services has completely changed since this thing called the internet started catching on.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And yet some realtors still offer the same old services in the same old ways and for the same old percentages. Victory Point Property Group in Canby believes it's time the real estate business caught up with the times. They'll meet with you for free, explain every step of the process, give you a clear game plan, and even let you choose the listing commission.
Really? They let you choose their commission?
Really? Victory Point Property Group understands this is one of the biggest and most exciting decisions of your life, and they'll do everything they can to make sure you handle it like a rock star.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to check them out by calling 503-263-4700 or by visiting online at victorypointhomes.com.
You do that. Victory Point Property Group, real estate reimagined. Don't you hate it when you're just getting caught up on your favorite show and then your video streaming service drops it without warning? Wouldn't it be cool if you could record unlimited programs at once and watch them whenever and wherever you want? Meet Easy Video from DirectLink, the only app-based TV service in Canby that includes most of the major live local broadcast channels, sports, and national networks. Easy Video is, well, easy. It's compatible with your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smartphone, and laptop, so you have more options for how and where you watch TV. And the best part of all, Easy Video members save an average of $360 a year over traditional cable. Say goodbye to HD fees, DVR fees, equipment rentals, and costly installation. Go to directlink.coop/EZV or visit them at the corner of Southeast 2nd and Juniper Street in Canby to learn more about the future of TV. This past weekend was Hairfest in Canby, one of the area's most well-attended annual events and certainly one of the best parties. It's a festival that is as fun, unique, colorful, and high quality as it is hard to describe. Founded 9 years ago by Jason Fellman of JFell Presents and Joan Monin, owner of the Wild Hair Saloons in Canby and Oregon City, Hairfest brings together over 20 of the top tribute bands and performers from around the country to play some of the greatest rock songs ever written over the course of the two-day festival. Thousands of festival goers make the journey to Pat's Acres in Canby every year, many staying overnight in tents in a large open area that is normally used as a go-kart track. I did tell you it was hard to describe. So to really understand this experience that organizers call summer camp for adults, you have to see it and hear it for yourself. Since it's too late for you to do that this year, we'll bring you the next best thing. Here's Joan Monin live from Hairfest 9.
Start by talking just about the first Hairfest. How did that go about?
9 years ago?
Yeah. Can you remember?
Seems like forever ago. Jason Fellman and I got together and thought it'd be fun to recreate an all 80s reunion at the Wild Hair in Canby. And we collaborated for a few months and hired three bands to show up and put on a great party. And we had about 600 people show up with very minimal work. And afterwards, we decided that we were onto something, and we decided to make a go at this festival thing.
You're part of the partnership is really, like, you talked about the customer experience, staffing, like, the festival thing, Jason is more the artist, and that side is the same side.
Yeah.
So when you come to Hairfest,
I'm blown away by the production and all that, because that's not really my world. So I don't know, what sound company do you hire? What lighting company do you hire? You know, those sorts of decisions. So I think our respect for one another is mutual in the aspect that he doesn't understand my world, I don't understand his, but yet somehow we make a really good partnership.
Yeah.
And that is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another big thing to bring to the partnership on the Wild Hair is your connection to Canby and knowing that.
Yeah.
A little bit about what makes this event special. Yeah. Part of being in Canby.
Yeah. This event couldn't happen anywhere else but in Canby. many stories behind the scenes of things that have come up last minute that I am like, oh, well, I'll call Bill Phillips. He'll bring this in. I'll call so-and-so. We can make this work. Then if you are in Portland or you are in a big community for people to have your back, it would never happen. And so that's what makes this event so special for me, is because I get to show everybody on my team how awesome Cam is and all the people that I bring to the table.
Talk more about the demands, the fans in the community. What's kind of different, or what you notice about the people that attend AirFest year after year?
They're so loyal. You know, it sounds so cliche that you're going to say, oh my God, it's a family, but it really is, because everybody looks out for each other. Everybody's got each other's backs. Everybody just, we all help each other when we can.
Yeah.
There's no better, what's the word I'm looking for, to bring people together than music.
Yeah.
It's magical.
Yeah.
When you have people that love something, and then they all get together, you can sing together and all that great stuff. So.
Stephen McSwain, I sing in Sonic Temple.
And what are they?
We are a cult cover tribute band paying homage to the Cult.
How long have you been coming to AirFest?
Oh gosh, this is actually my first time.
Oh, really?
I just moved to Oregon about 5 years ago and immediately heard about AirFest, of course, and thought it sounded like the greatest thing in the world, and just had never been able to get down here, having two younger kids who are now a little bit older. I'd always heard about it, and then when I started playing with Sonic Temple, we were invited to play this year, so it was my first experience, and I'm absolutely blown away. Incredible.
So you never even attended before, I've never been here.
I drove in, I was like, wow, man, this is insane.
Yeah. Describe it and your experience with it for folks that have never been here. Pretend like you're talking to somebody who's never seen it.
All right, so first off, you have two nights of the most incredible tribute bands of all the bands you love. You know, you got Bon Jovi, you got The Cult, you got AC/DC, you got Judas Priest, Ozzy, Metallica, you know, all these different tribute bands that just own it and just absolutely crush it. And it's cool because a lot of times what happens is, you know, the bands that have been playing forever, they, you know, you sing it night after night after night, it's just hard to recreate that. And then you have these tribute bands that just play it exactly like the album, and it's just amazing. So that's what you're getting as far as talent and, you know, and what you're listening to. But you drive in, and there's people camping in RVs, people camping in tents, there's food trucks set up, there's music like all day, all night. It's just such a cool vibe, and everybody's super cool, and everybody loves music and hanging out and just really enjoying the atmosphere. And it's beautiful here at Pat's Acres and Canby, and you know, you're just having a blast. It's just nonstop music. And this is the first year that they've had two stages going. So one band stops, another one begins. So it's actually really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's not like no break in the music. It's just boom, boom. Is there kind of like an energy that you feel in the air that's
different? Everybody's just super positive and just having such a good time. And they're here just to really enjoy the music, you know. And it's all about the music because, you know, you're hearing these great bands playing all the original band's greatest hits, you know. So it's just, the vibe is just so positive, and just it's such a great experience.
Yeah. Is there any moment from your first year here that sort of stands out to you as far as like encapsulating what you're talking about, or just as far as like hitting it home to you that this is something real special here?
Smiles. You know, you just look out and you know you finish one tune and everybody's just like, ah! You know, and you just feel it, and you're just there with them, and it's a great feeling. It's like, you know, I played music for a long time in original bands and cover bands and all kinds of different things, and you get a lot of the arm folding, like, you know, eyeballing you in the club and not really getting into it. And here it's just everybody's just having a blast. There's no pretense, no air about people. It's just everybody's super cool. All the bands are super cool. Like, ah, you guys crush it. I can't wait to see you guys play. You know, it's just cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just such a positive environment, and it's cool. It's like, you know, with everything that's going on in the world today, it's nice to just check out for a couple of days and listen to music, and nobody ask your politics, nobody ask your religion and all that stuff, and you're hanging out listening to rock and roll and drinking some beers and having a good time. So it's cool.
That reminds me, what do you think about politics and religion? No, I'm just kidding. Thanks, Ed.
I try not to.
So it was Shelly Toy. Okay, what were we talking about? Do we remember?
We were talking about the Hairfest experience and what brought me to Hairfest.
Yeah, so tell me about the Hairfest experience and what brought you to Hairfest.
We saw Steel Horse at the Star Theater, and we fell in love with the tribute bands. We're diehard hair band people, my husband and myself. And it just kind of sparked from there. We heard about J-Fell. And then I think the next show we went to was an Unchained show at the Crystal Ballroom. And it was then that we discovered that Jason Feldman used to sing. I found out from my uncle, he used to be the drummer in a band clear back in the 80s with my uncle. Mm. And so it just kind of, okay. So it went from there.
So, you know, you've seen different, like, concerts and different bands and stuff. Like, you kind of follow that a little bit. What is it, Hairfest, like? Is that kind of, like, to the next level? Or what is it like in comparison to, you know,
Hairfest
other...
Hairfest is all of my favorite tribute bands all in one spot. It is, it's outdoors, it's camping, it's hanging with other adults, not feeling pressure to be in an enclosed space. I mean, you get 2 days of jam-packed music funness. It is the coolest thing ever. I have more memories coming out of these things, and this is another reason why I joined the street team to help promote it, because I'm super ecstatic about this whole thing.
Yeah. You started to talk about, like, the memories and the community that's formed. Can you explain that a little bit? Like, what that's like? Because I feel like that's a huge part that brings people back every year, is that this is not just... I mean, the music's great. People love the music. But it's not just that.
It's family.
Yeah, that brings people...
It's family. It really is. We all get in there. Anybody who's contributed to Hairfest or been to a Hairfest, we all pull together like family. I can't explain it any other way. If someone is you know, looking like they're needing help, we all help out. There's no... I've never seen or been to any event that's had more camaraderie amongst the people than something such as Hairfest or any of these tribute acts. When you see them individually, it's a family, it's a community, and it's a family. But we all pull together, we all come together, we're all helpful to one another, and we just genuinely enjoy being together for the love of the music.
Yeah.
I'm Danny Dean. I'm the lead vocalist from the band Aerosmith Rocks, and we pay tribute to the band Aerosmith.
Yeah.
The
fans of that. Right?
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
And how long have you guys been doing Hairfest?
Hairfest, this is going to be our fourth appearance. We're lucky enough to have been invited back 4 times. Yeah, unprecedented. It's awesome.
Yeah. Tell me more about kind of what you think about it and what the event is like.
It's incredibly unique, because the environment is so... there's such a collaborative kind of spirit amongst the bands, and there's just this perpetuation of more of a culture rather than it's just a good celebration of kind of like-minded people coming together and enjoying classic rock music. And it seems like it's just a melting pot for great bands and great fans to come together and have 2 hours or so of escapism, you know, more than that actually. It's a festival, so multiple, you know, day. It's just a great outlet for everybody involved. Yeah.
You, Danny, especially have a bit of a following. People love your, you know, performance in the band and your embodiment.
People love Steven Tyler. Yeah, I'm very fortunate that some of that love has come my way as well. Yeah.
How did you get into it? You know, how did that come to be?
Steven Tyler's always kind of been in my wheelhouse, been one of the singers that's been part of my repertoire.
Yeah.
I think later on when I started looking to get into the tribute scene, I did a careful study of who had the most to offer in terms of delivering up a great body of work to bring on stage and deliver 90 minutes of music with a deep catalog. And Aerosmith, man, 150 million.
They want to do the same five songs.
Exactly. And that's a band that's, you know, 49 years going now, almost 50 years, over 150 million albums sold worldwide. That's a pretty deep reach. And
yeah.
I know that's going to touch an awful lot of people. And I didn't see an awful lot of Aerosmith tributes out there, and specifically in the Pacific Northwest, there simply wasn't anything up here. And so I think the fact that we've been invited down to Canby year after year is indicative of that fact, that we've kind of filled a need within the tribute market to satisfy Aerosmith fans out there.
It does seem, though, like in the Pacific Northwest and in Canada, like we've been talking a little bit, that the tribute scene has just kind of grown, you know, especially in recent years. Where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from dwindling opportunities to see the real bands, whether they've ceased to exist or whether their ticket prices are so high, and the love and demand for the music is still there. So many barriers have been knocked down, and when we play these events, we don't just see our peer group, we see their kids, we see second generation fans coming in. There's no a record industry telling you what to love any longer, and so now people are free to explore and knock down genre walls and stuff like that.
What is it like to be on the stage at Hairfest? Tell me about what that experience is like.
It's truly an honor and a privilege, because you can see that the crowd doesn't have to be won over. It's up to you to lose them.
Yeah.
They're here, they're ready to be entertained. And that in itself is an incredibly inviting, and it almost feels like there's a bit of weight on your shoulders to live up to expectation,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
And at the same time, there's a great camaraderie amongst all the bands, and we root each other on and support each other. So that's a driving factor that makes you excel in with those challenges,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. My name's Donna, and I am in a heart tribute band.
Yeah. And how long have you been doing?
Hairfest 4 was our first one, so how many years is that? It's 9 this year? Yeah. So it's been fun.
Yeah.
We love coming down here.
Yeah, why?
It's our people. You know, it's you play top 40 and it's kind of different. This is a community of tribute artists that are dedicated to their craft and are really good at what they do. And it's just, it's our community, it's our people.
Yeah.
I love it.
Are you based in Pacific Northwest?
We are from Canada.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That sort of counts.
Yeah, I guess so, it does.
This corner of the world is sort of, from what I hear and what I hear, you know, it's really, the tribute band scene is really something out here. Where do you think that comes
from? You know, I'm not even sure, because it's not the same in Canada.
Yeah.
There are places that we play as tributes, like some summer festivals, and there's a few casinos, but it's not like this. Here, they're in front of the stage, they're fist pumping, they're reliving their youth, right? They're singing along, they know all the words to like every freaking band that's on. It's totally different. In Canada, it's much more laid back, and it's not only the tribute acts, it's tough for the top 40 ones, it's tough for the original. It's just a different climate out there. I just don't know. That's why we love to come to the U.S. because, especially the Pacific Northwest, is these people just want to have fun. They want to. They still feel young at heart, and they want to experience what they've experienced when they were young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me, Donna, what it's like being on stage at Hairfest, like that energy when you're just about to start. What is that?
brainchild. And JFL Productions, like, they took on a lot to put this together. And it's been amazing. You know, we can't, as tribute acts, we can't thank him enough for giving us the opportunity to perform, to bring our craft here and have it so well accepted and appreciated by everybody. It's, you know, it's a dream come true. And I think we all feel like that. And we become a big family. And it just gets better every year.
Stay tuned for more of the music and stories of Hairfest after this short break.
I am not a golfer. I mean, I'm not a good golfer. So when I want to play a few rounds, I head over to Frontier Golf Course. They're a family-owned, family-friendly 9-hole course with beautiful scenery. And they let me rent clubs or bring my own. And they don't judge me for my slices and hacks. Or, you know, my language.
Frontier Golf Course is a great place to meet your buddies and have a drink or bring your kids along. They're located on Holly Street just north of town. If you hit the ferry, you've gone too far.
Also, please don't hit the ferry.
Yeah, please don't. But do ask them about Farley the Goat. They love that. Frontier prides itself on being the best value course you'll find in the area. If you haven't been by in a while, you've got to come check out what the new owners have done. Frontier Golf Course, it's a new frontier.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com. Tell me your name.
Dwight Balzer.
And you've been coming to Hairfest for how long?
This is my sixth year.
Yeah, what do you enjoy about it? What's Hairfest mean to you?
Hairfest is a life-changing experience for anybody that loves music. I have a lot of friends in the bands, in the crowd, and it's a great experience, and you have to try it at least once to know what I mean.
Yeah. And people, you know, I've interviewed quite a few people for this, fans and staff, and people just talk about the family that Hairfest is and how they help each other and something. You kind of have a story, I think, of how Hairfest has helped you out in a difficult time and Jason has helped you out. Is that right?
Yes. There was one time in particular a couple of years ago, I had some health issues, but I did not want to miss Hairfest at all. And bless Jason, Joan, and Lorenzo de Vargas for allowing me to sit on the rail inside the restricted area because it was so hot I couldn't handle not being able to stand up the whole time. And they did everything they could to make my experience amazing and help me get through that Hairfest. There was incredible support and love from the family.
Yeah, what did that mean to you?
It meant everything to me because I feel like I was so appreciated and valued as a friend and part of the family of the JFL whole crowd. First of all, also I'd like to thank Jason Feldman, Joan Monin, Murray McVeigh, Lorenzo de Vargas, and my brother Doug Balzer, and all my friends in the bands, all my friends in the crowd, and everyone associated with Hairfest. I am very blessed to have so many beautiful and wonderful people in my life, and I couldn't be me without them. I know a lot of people here, and I tell you what, it is so great when they come up to you and say, "Hey, Dwight, how you doing?" You know, and I run into so many people that I'll be like, "Hey, I know you, how you doing?" And it's just this camaraderie between everybody, the energy and the love, you cannot get that anywhere. And I am grateful for the love of all the music family that is a part of Hairfest.
Are you Hairfest's biggest fan, Dwight?
I want to say yes, but I know there's a lot of other people that want to say the same thing. So I just wanted people to know that I love this event more than anything else. I look forward to it all year long, and I will not miss one.
My name is Cheryl Blant, and here at Hairfest, I'm the manager of all merchandise retail, and I also manage the street team for Hairfest.
Yeah. You know, you've been doing this for 5 or 6 years now. Yeah. You've gone from just a fan to doing all this work. Like, what is it that is rewarding to you about it?
Oh my gosh.
It brings you back. I mean, you're not getting rich off of this.
So, a few things. First of all, being part of the JFL team and being part of the Hairfest team, working with True West, just really great professionals. And it's not what I do full time. I'm a sixth grade teacher in my real life. And so I enjoy the big eventness of it. Hairfest specifically has an amazing community of people. People come up to Tribute Town, which is our merch and our merch store, and they talk about how friendly people are and what a great time they're having. And the merchandise crew, we handle general information questions and help people choose their Hairfest souvenirs for the year. And so that community in itself, the team of people that I work with in my department are amazing. And most of my team that I work with were wives of musicians.
Yeah.
And so we're always kind of in the background.
Yeah.
And we've developed this store now at the festivals.
Yeah. You have a lot of engagement with the fans through what you do. Tell me more about what the Hairfest fans and community are like.
Oh my gosh. We hear a lot of appreciation from the fans. We hear, you know, what we're hearing this year, there are some changes in the festival, and so we get some feedback from them. People talk about how friendly everybody is. We have people that my staff have developed relationships with, and every year, like, the Hairfest fans come in looking for their favorite cashier at Tribute Town. And so there's a relationship there. We, the merchandise crew ends up kind of being, I guess, the ambassadors, kind of the hospitality ambassadors of the festival. So all of those things are really great.
What do you attribute to the success of Hairfest, the way you've seen it grow over time? I mean, it's not one of those ideas when you hear it first described that you necessarily are like, that's going to get huge. You know what
I
mean? Like,
right. The quality of the music.
Yeah.
Jason and JFL Presents, you're not going to get a bad product from them. And each of those bands has their own following. Something that he is a master of is the mix of the bands. And, you know, everything last night from Dokken to Beastie Boys to Appetite. And, you know, today we're starting with Heart. We had, you know, we had Foreigner and Bruce Springsteen. You know, Creedence Clearwater this morning. And so diverse music tastes and just mixing them the right way. And there's something that everybody's going to like. And if you don't like who's on stage right now, that might be your time to visit the merch booth or to go get some food.
Yeah.
The customer service. The customer service that people get. The responsiveness to customer concern, the entire Hairfest team. Joan, customer service at the Wild Hair Saloon. And how do you take that personalized customer service that they have at the Wild Hair and magnify it this big? And she's done it. And so she brings in the right people. in True West is a master of their craft, the best people. And that's why it works. We enjoy working with each other, the management team. You know, we look forward to this. Happy Hair Fest.
So this film, this project, this is all about telling the story of Hair Fest. Is there anything that you would add to that that we haven't kind of talked about or that I didn't ask you about if you were wanting to tell the story?
You know, I think Portland has a really great music scene. And a lot of times we, within our music community, we hear, an original music scene claim and a cover music scene and then the tribute band scene. And there are a lot of people who are willing to bash the tribute band scene. What we hear in the background right now is heart.
Yeah.
And there are all kinds of cover bands that do heart. When you come to Hair Fest and hear Barracuda, you are hearing the greatest hits at the best quality. Some of these bands, if you went to see them on the road right now, you're not seeing the original band, you're seeing a tribute to that band. And these musicians, again, mastering the craft of being somebody else and being damn good at it.
Some area residents may have noticed something happening Saturday afternoon at Waite Park. A group from a Portland church, Cruci Libertad, visited Cambia to put on a multicultural event that featured music, storytelling, preaching, and free food, which, if I'm being honest, is really what drew me in. It was a fun event that was equal parts religion and patriotism. We had the chance to chat with one of the main organizers of the event. He said it stems from his desire to share the gospel with every community he can. So why don't you start, just tell me your name and what you guys are doing here.
Okay, my name is Mikeas Ukoli. We come from Portland, and for many years we have decided just to be participating in our community. You know, we believe that God has called us to be a voice in the community and join our community, and also to encourage them towards the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Well, this is in Portland. What are you doing down here?
Well, you know, ever since I came to know the Lord in this country, I had a desire to go and preach the gospel and share the gospel in our way, you know, in different parts of Oregon, you know. Also, you know, wherever that the Lord opens doors for us to do what we are doing here,
You've been here before, I think, last year as well?
Yes, we were here last year around this time also.
Yeah,
we try to use our summer time to do this. Yeah.
You might as well be outside during those few months that you can be outside, right?
You know, especially after here, you know, it's almost 8 months of winter time, if we call it that way.
So you just do these in different communities like once a year or so?
Because our church also had a burden to not just only to be Christians on the outside, but our community also, we see the value of it, the value of the law, the value of freedom, the value of encouraging our children to grow and appreciate our community.
And what church are you with?
We are from the church Cruci Libertad, which means crossing freedom. It's an evangelical congregation.
Talk about some of the different things that you guys are doing at this event. You're serving food, you got music, I think some speakers on tap later.
What we do is that we understand the value of the pastors or the church leaders or just leaders in general in every community. They are the ones who understand the need of that community. So what we do is we provide a stage. You know, we bring our speakers, we provide whatever they need. And for them to come and speak to their community, to tell them what is it that they have for the community in case there is any need, any help that they need, the community needs. So the church also is an entity that should answer to those needs. So that's our goal. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. So really providing that platform for people within their own community to speak to their community. Is that the idea?
The community, yeah. Because they are the ones who understand the community, you know, the need, the struggles, their victories, their defeats, you know. And that's what we do, yeah.
Yeah, so I heard that there's kind of some local pastors that are speaking. I saw Ray Keane from the Canby Center is going to be one of them. Who else?
They're going to be myself, you know, if there is a little time, you know, sometimes we hear. But there is different pastors from the different churches.
Okay.
We do not classify anybody on the nose, you know.
Yeah, you don't exclude them, you mean?
Yeah, I don't exclude them. We want to be open to them. And we want to give them that stage for them to come and share the gospel.
Yeah.
And also, you know, answer to the community in what they think that is necessary. Because every community has its own seasons, you know. Yeah, in their own need. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, this event, like you're promoting, like you said, kind of the gospel and the chance to promote the Christian faith and bring the gospel to people, but also celebrating America. There's like a huge flag behind the stage. You guys started with a very beautiful rendition of the national anthem. Can you talk a little bit about why you kind of do both at this event?
We do both. Our allegiance, first of all, is to the kingdom of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, throughout the gospel, we see being the Lord commanding us to love the community, to love the country where the Lord puts us into, to respect the law, to respect the constitution, and to prefer the goodness and what is excellent in that community, and the struggle to be a shoulder in it too.
Yeah,
so that's why we do that. We have our flag here, just to honor our community and the nation itself. Yeah,
I think that's awesome, and it's very cross generational too. You've got some younger people up there playing guitars and singing. You've got some older folks doing stuff.
Yes, we encourage our family to be involved because we believe the family has a very tremendous value. If families does not embrace the ideas and embrace the opportunity that they have, then we tend to lose a lot of the involvement of our children in the affairs of the community.
And the other thing too that I think is cool is kind of the involvement of the Latino community and kind of bringing that. That's obviously a big important part of our community here in Canby, but oftentimes you don't see those two sides mix maybe as much as they could or should. Is that something that you guys try to do or encourage you to do in the different communities that you visit with these events?
Yes, we do try to do that. We try to bring diversity of cultures, you know, through the gospel. I myself, in the past, I was involved with a lot of Filipino, Russian churches. So we are open, but our idea is that we may see ourselves as a one community, not a community of segregation, but one community, and to work towards that.
Yeah, and despite our differences, I mean, you kind of picked two of the best things, right, that draw us together, that shared faith that we may have, and, of course, our patriotism and, our one country that we share. So it's kind of cool that you grabbed those to kind of be the foundation of that.
Yes, we're trying to implement this also in the hearts of our children.
Yeah.
Because we're passing on, you know, passing away, you know, they are ones that need to pick up these things and embrace them and encourage them for the benefit of our country and our community, yeah. About everything for the gospel. Yeah.
Do you have anything to add?
Well, you know, we would like to encourage, you know, those who are able to do these things to do them, because I think little by little our freedom is being filed away. Church-wise, I think throughout the years, the church has been forced into a corner, and we have accepted that role just in a little corner, when we have a broad community, a broad spectrum to where we need to exercise our freedom. We need to uphold those things, and that's why I'm here. You know, I'm not just only wanting to see church-wise orientation, but I want to see also the beauty of what this country is based upon, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, in helping and inviting our citizens, our co-citizens, to the excellent way. Yeah.
Do you have a social media presence or a website or some physical place that people can go if they want to find out more about what you do or catch some of your other events in the area?
So far, we have not had yet,
okay.
But we are working on it.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
So.
Mikaias, thank you so much for this wonderful event, the wonderful music that I think you folks can hear in the background, and for feeding us as well. Thanks for visiting our community and for talking to me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. The Lord bless and bless Cambi also. You know.
Thank you.
So I'm here with Derek Hill, president of Advantage Mortgage in Cambi. I was wondering what's going on in the mortgage industry right now.
The mortgage industry is on fire right now. The big thing that's really exciting for us is that we are now an independent mortgage broker, which means that we can offer substantially lower rates and lower fees for our customers. For example, we just got a loan last week and the realtor said, hey, I think you should go talk to Derek at Advantage Mortgage. And sure enough, we got the borrower 3/4 better rate, and we saved him $14,000 in fees.
Cool. So where can people find you?
So office number is 503-266-5800, or they can find us on the web at findtheadvantage.com. But most people just give us a holler or they stop in.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Derek.
You bet. Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 1770599. Derek Hills, NMLS number 50183. Equal housing opportunity.
And that's our show. Special thanks to Hairfest, the fans, the bands, and the hardworking staff and volunteers who make the magic happen. Thanks for the fun times, and thanks for letting us stick microphones in your faces all weekend. And to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do, we encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses that support us. Hey, if you liked what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes. Cambi is just all about music this time of year, it seems. The Slice of Summer Concert Series kicks off on Sunday, and we'll be bringing you one of the main organizers, Lisa Lear. Lisa is also known as the admin of the popular Cambi Now Facebook group, which boasts close to 20,000 members. We'll ask her about how she handles the frustration and criticism that often goes with the territory for that kind of gig, as well as a question every Cambi Now member has always wondered, why do Cambi people lose so many dogs? If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on, or suggestions for how we can improve, please connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CanBeNow. Or to learn how you can start supporting our show and gain access to exclusive content through Patreon, visit CanBeNowPod.com/plus.